that song, yeah, there's no place I'd rather be than right here with church family worshipping God this morning, and I hope you feel that too. So I'm going to be continuing talking about Jesus culture, and it's the final week in the series, so I'm kind of going to be summing up all that we've learned. And I don't know about you, but I've really enjoyed just hearing over the last 3 weeks how we can become more like Jesus and carry his culture. But before we get into that, I just want to tell you a little story, or not a story, but it actually happened, about a time when I used to work with a youth group. When I was about 20 or 21, I used to help lead a youth group, and it was in the church that I grew up in. And the church was in quite a deprived area, a lot of dysfunctional families, a lot of poverty. And we used to have a youth group that was really outward looking, and a lot of the kids from the estate would come every Friday night. And these kids, well, they literally were hard work. And you know, I was kind of, I'd done youth work quite a lot, you know, I got involved at a young age, but these kids pushed me to my limits. They were rude, they damaged the building, they swore at us, they took the mickey out of us. But over time I just came to love them, and we built relationship with them. And most Friday nights were pretty wild. We'd have fights breaking out, and you know, try and do a little God slot talk. Well, there's no point really. They'd just be shouting and swearing at us, and all the rest of it. So anyway, one time one of the other leaders had a bright idea and said, why don't we take them to Devon on holiday for a week? And I agreed to go. And that week was the hardest week of my life. I tell you, I've never ever done youth work like that. I mean, youth work, youth camps, you don't get much sleep anyway, but I literally did get any sleep. And they moaned the whole time. They hated it. They hated us. They wanted to go home. We couldn't do this. We can't do that. All the rest of it. So we got back after the summer holidays, you know, started back up in September, and they came back and they told us, that was the best holiday ever. We loved it. Please take us again. And yeah, so often at the time, you don't realise, do you? You don't realise what good things going on. So anyway, time went on. The kids grew up, and a youth group carried on, and we had different kids coming through. But anyway, I bumped into a few of them over the years, and obviously they'd grown up, left school and stuff, and the one thing they always said was, that holiday was the best holiday of my life. And it just makes it all worthwhile, doesn't it? I know at the time I was just exhausted and thinking, what on earth are we doing? But when you see people and they tell you things like that, it was worth all the time and effort, all that time that I invested in them. Just gave them a memory, and you know, I don't know what they remember about God or us, but I know that I had a chance to invest in them. And in this Jesus culture series, we've been looking at how Jesus poured his life into the disciples, into his followers, and how we need to carry that culture. Matt talked about how Jesus connected with people. Dan talked about how Jesus believed in people, and Craig last week talked about how Jesus changed people, becoming who we're meant to be. And as I've just said, there's a word that kind of summarizes all that, and that's to invest in people. Jesus invested his life in people, into the crowds, into the disciples, and into anyone that he came across. We're the people that we are today because people have invested in us, whether that's parents, school teachers, music teachers, sports coaches, colleagues, line managers. They all have an influence on shaping us and helping us become the people we're meant to be. People we connect with, people who've believed in us, people who help us change to become who we're meant to be. So we all need to be invested in, and we all need to invest in others. Craig hit the nail on the head last week brilliantly when he ended his talk. He talked about how God wants to partner with us, to encourage others, to pull out the gold and potential in others. Becoming more like Jesus isn't actually the end goal, as great as that is, and as much as we should be doing it, because then he wants to go on to use us to draw out the gold in others. Why he would choose to use me? with all my failings and my flaws, and maybe you'd say the same about yourself. I don't know, but that's what he chooses to do. And if we're becoming more like Jesus, that's what we should want to do anyway, to invest in others and see others grow into who God's called them to be. So I think we're investing in people all around us without even realising it at the time, just by the way we live our lives. But are we being intentional about investing in a few? Jesus poured his life into many people, but he invested in the few, the disciples. He called them to follow him. He taught them. He made them think. He challenged them. He probably got frustrated with them. He encouraged them. He exposed them to miracles, signs, and wonders. He prayed for them. He believed in them. And then he said, "Now go, you do it." In Matthew 28, that famous verse, it says, "Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the end of the age.'" And that's what they did. They went out preaching the good news, healing the sick, raising the dead, trying to live like Jesus lived, which included pouring their lives into people. And we've got a good friend called Paul Wilcox, who's invested a lot into Matt and myself over the years. And he's got a little quote that says, "Invest in a few for the sake of many." I'll just say that again. Invest in a few for the sake of many. If we invest in a few, and if those people invest in a few, and so on, it has a massive effect. This is what Jesus did and how the message of Jesus spread around the world. We can't mentor, coach, invest in everyone, but we can all invest in a few people. So let's have a look at what the Bible says. If you want to turn to Acts chapter 9, there's a great example here. And just before we read, I'll just give you a little background here. We're going to be looking at the life of Saul. And Saul was not a very nice person before he met Jesus. He was basically trying to destroy the church. He hated Christians, he persecuted Christians, and had a really bad reputation. But then he has an encounter with God, and he totally surrenders his life to Jesus. And we're going to pick it up in verse 19, where he joins the disciples in Damascus. "So Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All of those who heard him were astonished and asked, 'Isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on this name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests?' Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is Messiah." And then a bit further down it says, "When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was really a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved freely about in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of Jesus." So the disciples are obviously and understandably scared of this man. They'd heard about him and his reputation. But we see a man called Barnabas speak up for him. Now, Barnabas is thought to be one of the 72 that the original disciples sent out. He was a Jewish Levite, and his real name was actually Joseph. And interestingly, the disciples changed his name to Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. So he must have been someone that encouraged a lot of people to get his name changed. He took Saul to the disciples and vouched for him and said, "He's a good guy." He must have observed Saul at some point and maybe felt that connection that we were talking about earlier. He saw something in him. He recognized this man had radically encountered Jesus and stood up for him. We'll connect with some people more than others, and other people's will connect with other people more than you will. And that's the beautiful and amazing thing about the church. We're all different, and we've all got different callings, and we're all can invest in different people. But we all have a job to look out for people and see potential in people and call it out of them. We need to be intentionally looking out for people God wants us to connect and invest in. Later on, it goes in Acts chapter 11, further on in the story, in verses 25 to 26, it says, Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. So Barnabas went looking for Saul in Tarsus. He was in one place, and he decided to go and look for Saul. And then he brought him back with him. So, you know, in that time where he stood up for Barnabas in front of the disciples in Jerusalem, Barnabas would have gone away doing his thing, traveling, preaching, all the rest of it. But I think the Holy Spirit must have prompted him to, you know, go and find Saul and go and get him and bring him to where he was. So he chose and intentionally went to find him. And here he invites him to come alongside him and minister and learn and journey with him. He believed in him enough that he was willing to go looking for him and ask him if he wanted to join him. That would have cost him time and energy. If we're going to invest in people, it's going to cost us time and energy. Are we willing to do that? Thinking back to when Dan spoke, that illustration of him doing the washing up with Lucy, where she doesn't do a great job, his little three-year-old girl, for those of you that weren't here, she's not going to do a great job. but he's just there encouraging her, you know, trying to show her how to do it, probably feeling a bit frustrated at times because he knows he's got to do it all over again. That's what we have to do sometimes. Are we willing to give up our time? Probably going to take a lot longer to do things. Are you willing to invite them into your life to journey with you? There's a cost to pay, but I'll talk later about how the cost is so worth it. And on the flip side, Saul must have trusted Barnabas enough to travel somewhere and stay with him. If someone asked me to go somewhere with them, I'd want to know that they're an all right person. But I guess he remembered that time that Barnabas stuck up for him. He vouched for him, and he knew that he believed in him, so he was willing to go. But be careful about who you do allow to speak in your life. Barnabas is described in the Bible as a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. So I guess Saul thought he must be a good guy. So they spend a year in Antioch together, and during that time, I'm just guessing that they spent a lot of time talking, discussing, Barnabas giving him opportunities to do stuff, growing confidence, encouraging him, believing him. And then in Acts 13, which we're going to read now, verses 2 to 4, the Holy Spirit calls them to Cyprus. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. The two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed there to Cyprus. So here we see them minister together and alongside each other. When we invest in people, we don't want that person to stay the same, whether that's a teacher at school or learning to play an instrument. The teacher would expect to see growth in that person. You expect to see them get better. You expect to see that change, which Craig talked about last week. As we become more like Jesus, we change. So they go down to Cyprus, and from verse 6 we read on. They travelled through the whole island until they came to Paphos, where they met a Jewish sorcerer and a false prophet named Bar-Jesus, who was an attendant of the proconsul Sergius Paulus. The proconsul, an intelligent man, sent for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul from the faith. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas and said, "You are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? Now the hand of the Lord is against you. You're going to be blind for a time, not even able to see the light of the sun." Immediately mist and darkness came over him, and he groped around, seeking someone to lead him by the hand. When the proconsul saw what had happened, he believed, for he was amazed about the teaching of the Lord. So Barnabas has invested this time in Saul. He's asked him to come alongside him and minister him. And then they go on to Cyprus, and then this happens. Can you imagine Barnabas's face as he sees, like, Saul, like, speaking those words to this man? And that's what it's all about. It's about investing in someone and then seeing them live out their calling and start to grow in confidence and walk in God's, what God's called them to do. All that investment of walking and journeying together, long talks and discussions, probably picking them up when he felt down, frustration when it's not gone so well, it's totally worth it. To see someone start to become what they're meant to be, walking in confidence, that's what it's all about. And interestingly, this is where we see Saul's name change to Paul. And there's a few theories about why that happens, but I just wonder if this is about, it was the moment where Paul started to walk in what God had called him to do. He'd grown in confidence. There was that change of character. There was that change of personality. It's also where we see, up until this point, it's been Barnabas and Paul in the scriptures. And at this point, it changes from Paul to Barnabas. And I think there's significance in that too. The roles kind of flip here, from Barnabas taking the lead to Paul taking the lead. And Paul's ministry went on to drastically influence many people's lives. And we see the message of Jesus spread through him. And then he goes on and invests in people like Silas and Timothy. Over the years, there's been many people that have invested in my life. But I'd say there's probably a few key people that I can count on one hand who've invested intentionally in me and taken me under their wing. Obviously, my parents had a massive influence on me. But when you're a teenager, sometimes you don't want to hear what your parents have got to say. Anyone who's got teenagers, you may know that as well. It sometimes takes somebody from just kind of outside your kind of immediate family to help you figure out who you are, to challenge behaviours or thoughts that you have, and to help you make good choices. And even now, I still meet with a couple of people that help me to journey and grow into the person that I'm called to be, because I'm not the finished article. Now, I'm still learning. The older I get, the more I realise I don't know. And with both of these women, there's a part of me that absolutely loves it. I love going and meeting with them from time to time. But there's a little bit of me that kind of trembles as well, because I know they're going to ask me questions. I know they're going to, I'm going to have to make myself feel vulnerable and feel uncomfortable at times. But I know it's for my own benefit, and I trust them, and I know they want me to grow as a person. Over the years as well, I've invested in other people, sometimes for short amounts of times and some for longers. And for anyone that knows me a little bit, this is something that both Matt and I are really, it's just really what we're passionate about, to see people become who they're meant to be. There's just nothing better than seeing people just take steps of faith and grow in confidence and overcome fears in their lives and obstacles in their life. And I'm sure that's how Barnabas must have felt with Saul, or Paul as he became known. One person that I'm currently doing this with is Hannah Newton. And she isn't here in here this morning, because guess what she's doing? She's investing in our young people, which is great. And I've asked her permission to talk about her this morning, and I'm using her as an example because most of you will know her and most of you will know me. So I've known Hannah now for probably coming up to about five years. So she came and she was in sixth form, she was 17, and I knew her as a youth leader to start with. And then as time went on, Hannah helped and I gave her some opportunities to do things in youth, and now she is helping lead the youth. So I've seen that journey in her life. I've seen her face challenges and obstacles, both in her spiritual life and in life in general. We've celebrated successes, we've drank lots of cups of tea together, we've laughed together, we've prayed together, and we've cried together. And in fact, many of you will have cried with her. You will remember when she stood up here and told us that she was going to Cambodia. I don't think there was a dry eye in the place. We've all seen and journeyed with her as a church, and it's just been great to see her grow as a person. It's been a joy to walk alongside her, to see her take steps of faith, figure things out and come to her own decisions, because we're not there to make choices for people. We're there to help them come to their own decisions. And I'm not bragging about myself. This has got nothing to do with me. This is about Hannah being willing to be invested in. She's wanted to grow as a person. It's because of him. When Dan spoke about his old pastor in Birmingham a couple of weeks ago, calling him one of his boys, I could totally resonate with that. It's like seeing your own children grow and become who they're meant to be. It's like almost being a proud parent. Imagine how God feels as he sees us becoming who we're destined to be. Imagine how he feels watching us take time to invest in a few for the sake of many. I want him to say, well done and good and faithful servant to me. But let's be honest, it doesn't always work out the way we hope. There will be times when people we invest in make choices that we don't agree with, or they disappoint us and we might feel let down. And people might even walk away from Jesus. And I guess at this point it's easy to say, what's the point? If we look at the disciples, Peter denied Jesus, Thomas doubted Jesus, Judas betrayed Jesus. And even in the story of Barnabas and Paul, later on in Acts 15, we see that they have a disagreement which causes them to part ways. Those kids that I was working with in Northampton all those years ago, I don't know what any of them are doing now. I don't know if any of them are following Jesus, but I do know my investment wasn't wasted. They were who God wanted me to invest in at that point of time. They were there, I had the time, and I could do it, and I could give them some time, and I could give them some hope. And, you know, I don't think they'll have forgotten. You know, I'm sure there's at times they'll remember that Jesus that we talked about, and they'll remember that bunch of Christians that on a Friday night would give them a little bit of time. So I don't think it's ever wasted. We don't always know what the outcomes of people's lives, and it's not our job to tell people what to do. Jesus never forced anyone to do anything. We can give advice when asked. We can ask questions and challenge. We can believe in people, call out the potential that's in them. We can definitely pray for them. We'll most likely feel frustrated at times with people. We can love them, even if it's not a good choice. And in all of what I've talked about, there has to be love. We can't do anything without love. Jesus loved people. He just loved people where they're at. He wanted to see them grow, so he gave them a bit of his time. And I want to be like that. I want to be someone that calls out that gold in people, even if it's not what I would do. So how do we make this applicable right here, right now, for us as a church as well? Well, firstly, I feel like, as I said, the older I get, the more I realise I don't know, and just how much I realise I need people to walk alongside me in this roller coaster life journey that we live. We need relationships, because that's the way we were designed. So a question for you this morning is, who is investing in you? Who's speaking into you life? Who are you allowing to encourage and challenge you? Who are you being really honest with? Like, really honest. Maybe it's about looking around at the people that are in your life and looking at people that you trust, and you see them living for God and you think, oh, I'd quite like to be like that. But maybe they'd give me a bit of their time. Maybe it's just about having the courage to go and have a chat with them and ask them. Or maybe it's the other way around. Maybe you need to ask the question, who am I investing in? Look at the people that you're around. Who do you connect with? Who do you believe in? Who do you see the gold in? You may say, what have I got to offer? But sometimes it's just about listening. Actually, most of the time, it's just about listening. It might be investing in someone that's not even following Jesus yet and helping them figure all that out. What if Barnabas hadn't vouched for Saul right back at the beginning of the story? Maybe we would never have known that great preacher that he became, because you never know the importance of who you're investing in. Both of those things are going to require something of us. And it might mean like you're going to have to push yourself out of your comfort zone, and it might feel a bit scary, but it is so worth it. As someone who knows what it's like to be invested in, and as someone who knows what it's like to invest in others. And if Jesus modeled it and there are many, many other examples in the Bible, then yes, I think we should all be doing it, carrying that culture that Jesus did to see his kingdom come. Just as I finish up here, if the band just want to come up and just play, that would be great. I just wanted to touch on, finally, what our vision here at Lifehouse is. And I'll just read it out. Basically, it says, we are a family on mission to bring life to the city. We are a community for everyone to belong, with a life-changing message for everyone to believe. And here's the bit. And a vision to become, for everyone to become the people that God has created them to be. It's part of our mission. It's there. So if it says it, we've got to do it. There's another quote that I'll just read that I just absolutely love. It's by Catherine of Siena, and she said this: be who God meant you to be, and you will set the world on fire. Simon Peter, Barnabas, Paul, they all became the people they were meant to be, and the message of Jesus spread like wildfire. In that song, we were talking about the fire and seeing his message spread. And God, in his grace and mercy, wants us, the church, us here at Lifehouse, he wants to use us to see that message spread. So I'm just going to pray, and let's just see where we're at. Ask God, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to invest in someone? Do I need someone to invest in me? What does it mean for us here at Lifehouse? Lord, thank you so much for your love for us, God. Thank you so much that you want to invest in us, and we can learn so much by the way you lived your life and from others that you poured your life in out into, who then poured their life into others, God. And God, we just want to be available for you, God. We have this message of hope. We have this message of hope, and you want to use us, Lord, to spread that message. So I just pray we'd have open hearts this morning, and as we go from here, Lord, and speak to us, God, speak to us about how you want to use us to invest in others. Help us become who you want us to be, Lord, to carry that Jesus culture, to carry you in our lives, not us. We want people to see you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.